Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies. Get your prance on with your host, Lisa Lamont, who will guide you to the next level of awareness with other women just like you. There's no need to hold back because you're safe here with your fellow kitties. And now, here's Lisa.
Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for joining me for another exciting episode of Ladies Get Your Prance On. I am telling you, I am here in Washington State, looking out over the water right now from my office, and the sunshine is just coming down, and I'm telling you, I've lived here all of my life, and I've never seen such a summer start out so warm and beautiful, and I'm absolutely blessed to be here today with my very, very special guest. Her name is Adria Williams, and she is known worldwide as the It Girl. And so she's going to be talking about exposure and campaigns that are going to give you the tools to elevate your Facebook page into a Google Hangout and gain exposure for your campaign. So, Adria, welcome.
Hey, Lisa. How are you?
I am so excited to have you on the show. You are busy. Do you ever stop? Do you ever have a day where you just simply stop?
I did this weekend. I finally, after getting off the road from coming from New Orleans, I took just Saturday. I think I slept most of the day. Friday night, I had to take my daughter in. She fell, and so we were in the hospital. So Saturday, I slept. I just slept. It was wonderful.
Yeah. You know, and that's wonderful that you're sharing that, because people need to know that we get so busy in life and we have to just take time out to just sleep and just social media, because you are a social media goddess on steroids. For those of people listening that have yet to meet you or interact with you, I mean, you are social media times 1,000. Seriously.
Yeah, it gets a little overwhelming, Lisa, sometimes. So I do have to. And there are even months where I'm just like, you know what, this month I'm just going to tone it back and just applaud everyone else in my world. And I think that's what it's really about, like it being having all this exposure. You can get tired, and I think sometimes we really forget that you have to check out and take care of you and get in that mirror and really love on yourself. So I've been doing that a lot lately, more than normal, because I realized that I had stopped doing that. I had really checked out and not really paying attention to myself, which makes me not good for everybody else. So it's really important that I take that time to say, you know what, this weekend it's all about me and my bed and my kids, and so we're just going to eat popcorn and watch movies.
I love it. So the people that are listening who may not have heard of what mirror love is, there's a few people out there that may not know that are listeners. Can you explain to them what you mean by when you say I do my mirror love, my mirror work?
Yes, I it's a tool that you have so graciously given me that really I get in the mirror in the morning and I basically talk to myself and I love on myself from the third person. And so I tell myself what I'm supposed to do for the day, how much I love myself. I encourage myself and I just get in and I talk to myself as if I'm another person, like really in the third person for the day. And sometimes I'll do it in the middle of the day, Lisa. I haven't shared that with you yet. But sometimes I just get in the mirror in the middle of the day and I kind of start, I do this, I expose the lies. So you know how you're in your day and things come up and you just like kind of sit back to like, oh, am I really worth this? Is this something I'm supposed to be doing? And sometimes I just get in the mirror and I tell myself, yes, you are supposed to be doing this today. You already set your task for the day and you know what you're supposed to be accomplishing, but get back to it. And so I have to do that because otherwise I'll get caught and get depressed. So I have to do my mirror love. So thank you for the tool, Lisa. I really appreciate it.
It is. Well, and I first got it reading Louise Hay's book, You Can Heal Your Life, You Can Heal Your Mind. And so she called it mirror work. And it's just, you know, it's a great tool. And I even, you know, all these years of having practiced it myself, and you make a good point about, you know, when we say out loud our intentions for the day. And so you might get to 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon and all of a sudden, I swear, it just comes up going, your intention was to do X, Y, and Z, and you haven't done it yet. And there's just something about saying it out loud to the universe that you follow through. It's just like, you know, I'm not going to put it off till tomorrow because that was what I said I was going to do today. And it's a reminder that brings us back to why are we here on earth? You know, we're here to serve others. We're here to love ourselves and then love other people. And so when we send that attention out to the universe, I share that with people, that that's about valuing yourself and valuing the idea that we are down here to do what makes us happy, which in turn makes other people happy around us. And so I'm going to just jump in with my first question. If you're ready for, are you ready for question number one?
Yeah, I'm ready. Question number one. Let's do it.
How does the It Girl define exposure? I love that question.
Thank you. Well, I define exposure as having the opportunity to, once you've gotten, you know, Joey talks about visibility, right? She's a visibility thing. But exposure is really the next level of that. Is that once you have this captivated audience, you really have to begin to educate them and learn about them, too. So it's a collaborative effort. So exposure really is a collaboration of utilizing resources and tools to not only get your message out, okay, and entertain other people about other people's messages. So exposure is a broad spectrum of learning, educating, and collaborating with other people to get a message delivered or even launch a product. And that's really it in a nutshell. Well, there's more to it. There's a science to it, but that's what exposure means to the It Girl.
I love that. And then how do campaigns help the brands gain exposure? So explain a little bit about what a campaign is, because a lot of people have heard of campaigns, but they don't really understand what it can do and what it means. So if you can explain that a little bit.
Oh, you got it. So a campaign really is a targeted message that you're going to produce content for over time. And usually an average campaign, a good campaign, should run about 2 to 3 months. And it's really about kind of picture, you know, the first time you saw that Carl's Jr., and they did that switch where they were really making the hamburger kind of sexy and juicy. I don't know if you remember that campaign. But that message was repeated over and over in different formats until where you realized that Carl's Jr. had elevated their burger game to now their burgers are $6, $7, $8. But they had to start with a campaign to re-educate the marketplace, to educate the marketplace on this new launch that they were doing and let them know that Carl's Jr. was changing the game of the burger game. So that's what a campaign does. A campaign gives you the opportunity to expose your brand to the marketplace, leverage the ability to deliver a new message or maybe the same message that they might not have heard in a while, and then doing it repeatedly over time, even though you might use different mediums or even similar messaging in your brand message to help people know more about who you are. And then you have to do it. Oh, it's a repetitive, repeat, repeat, repeat. You know, like where is the beef, right? And Wendy, so you have to.
I love the beef.
Yeah, don't you love where is the beef, right? And so, but remember how they had to like educate us that Wendy's was about the beef, right? And we were like, oh, Wendy's has beef, like really, like how much of it? And then they even told us like how much was in the burger, right? And so we got educated, we got edutained is what I call it. It was a whole edutainment on Wendy's. So the same thing goes for your messaging with your brand or a new product launch. You have to edutain people, and the only way that you can do that effectively is through a campaign. Make sense?
That's good. That's good to know. You know, and I still, you know, it's interesting those campaigns that we can still remember from, you know, a child. And so I'm in my 50s. So, I mean, I go all the way back to remembering Tricks Are for Kids, you know, the Coke, you know, I want to teach the world to live in perfect harmony. When you look back on that, Adrian, you sit and think about what does Coke have to do with perfect harmony? But it was a brilliant campaign. It really was.
It was a brilliant campaign. It worked, right? And now, you know, several years later for both of us, right, people are still drinking Coca-Cola, and it's a brand recognition. And really a campaign just brings you, it exposes your brand to gain recognition and also brings you to a point where you become the authority of your brand. So if you would look at, you know, the soda companies, like you said, for example, right, Coke, Pepsi, you know, they're the leaders, and it's because their campaigns were so repetitive and effective that now we know that they're the leaders in the soda pop business, just period.
Yeah, and again, I believe too, a campaign can also hurt a brand, if it's you know, and you've seen that sometimes where they'll start a brand and then they'll see the reaction, because social media is so quick to react these days that, you know, people will make these comments and they'll retract it or they'll recall it. And one of the recent campaigns that I'm seeing on TV is for Kentucky Fried Chicken. And I think the mistake in their campaign is that this guy is saying, "I am Colonel Sanders. I'm back." And those of us who know, that is not Colonel Sanders. He's better off having just been talking for the company than saying, "I am Colonel Sanders." It's better to leave it implied than to say, because we know there really was a Colonel Sanders and he's dead. And so to bring somebody back that looks like him and dresses like him, and it's almost like they're trying to say that we're stupid. So what do you have to say about that? I'm kind of off track a little bit here.
No, but that's a good point, because campaigns can, if you're not done properly, you can eat your words, you know. There's so many instances where people put something out and they go, oops. I can't remember his name. He's a clothing manufacturer. And during one of the greatest tragedies we're having, he put something out that he thought was kind of tongue-in-cheek, but it turned out to be super offensive to people. So you have to be super careful, because you don't know who you're going to offend. So in your campaign messaging, of course, you know, you never know, you know, who's going to be offended, because there's so many sensitive areas in our world today. But I just, you know, encourage people that when you are messaging your campaign, that you consider anyone who might glance at it and the effect that it might have on them long term. Because, of course, like you said, in social media, it's instant. And so once you push that button, thousands and thousands upon hundreds of people have an opportunity to see it. And you don't want to damage your brand by putting out a campaign that might be offensive to people.
Yeah, and you know, and for those of you that are listening, you know, I met Adria in person earlier this year, which was awesome. It was awesome, and you just had this way. I mean, without us even realizing it, and it was kind of a campaign. You know, when you go out and you network with people, you really are campaigning to get to know them as a person and who they are. And you did. Of all the speakers, they all said wonderful things, but when you brought us together, it was almost like a Coke bringing, you know, I would like to teach the world to live in perfect harmony. I mean, you did that, Adria, by simply having us all join hands and being in this connected circle. And I just felt this, I mean, I felt this great love for you, even though I liked you on social media. I loved what you said on social media, but to meet you in person and then to see, I mean, you validated what I already thought of you on social, you know, on social media and what you said, but you really were your brand of the It Girl. You really were about connecting people, and you literally connected us all together spiritually. It's such a beautiful experience that I walked away with. It reminded me of, you know, the Coke. We're advertising for Coke, and we're not even getting paid for it. We're going to have to contact them. So speaking of campaigns, what is the best time to run a campaign?
You know, the best time to run a campaign, I'm just going to be honest, is anytime you're doing something that you want to make a mega impact in the world and you want to bring greater exposure to and increase your numbers. So, like, for example, I have a client and she's relaunching her family's company in a new way that they've never done before, and they've gone from a chemical-based hair product to an organic and very healthy based hair product. So that's a big transition for them. She's launching not only her family legacy, but also a new brand. And so when you're ready to do, my concept of a campaign is it's got to be something that's going to be impactful, and you want to reach the masses with a new message and or a message that you thought you had shaped and molded, but maybe now you say, you know what, I finally retweaked that, and now I want to blow it out the water. So campaigns are really the most effective when you're going to do something really grand in the world or grand within your brand, something new you're elevating to. Like for you, Lisa, you know, when you came out and you decided that I'm going to own being a gypsy and I'm going to own doing what I do, and when you own that, that was something new for you. Right? And so now that people are learning about who you are and your brand, you know, it's a great time to say, you know what, I'm going to run a campaign. Like you just told me before we got on the phone, can I share your secret? Is it okay?
Yeah.
Dancing kitten?
Yeah.
Okay. So So Lisa, next year you're going to do this whole thing where you're actually going to have a little sticker for people to with your Prancing Kitten on it, and that's going to be a new campaign. That's something big because you want to share every time you touch somebody's life, you want to share your Prancing Kitten with them, right?
I do, yes. Thank you for that promotion.
That's a campaign. That's a major impact because you decided, I want to, people, when I leave them, not to just have Remember Lisa. I want them to remember the Prancing Kitten as a symbol of our connectivity. And that's major. And so that's what, for me, when I work with clients and I work with anybody that I'm doing business with or even just in life, I say, if you're going to do something, do it grand and make sure you make the biggest campaign that you can put together so that people hear the repeated message enough to understand it. So sometimes we put stuff out there and then people don't catch it and understand it because we haven't done enough of it. So another tool, another technique is that campaigning has to be a repetitive message. And sometimes you might feel like you're saying the same thing over and over again, but it takes us a while. We know we're human, we're busy, we're doing so many things, and it takes so many impressions just to deliver one point. Like, you know, where to be, think about how many times you saw that commercial to now it's embedded message. We can't forget it, right? The little old lady, she's so cute and adorable driving through the drive-thru, right? You know, and so we have to remember that campaigning is a repetition. And so my objective is to help people understand that it's not going to just be a couple of weeks thing. And sometimes it might take you, you know, 3 to 6 months to really gain momentum. And hopefully not that long, because one of the techniques I teach is that you get collaborators along the way. You're going to need other people. You're not going to be able to do this by yourself, especially if you're already a solopreneur or you have a small to mid-sized business. You're going to need to invest in having some other people. So, because that kind of looks like partnering with the Super Bowl, right? So finding a Lisa Lamont who has this great radio show, right, and get on the air and talk about what you do. That's a part of your campaign message. So you have to envelop all these different layers of media within your campaign to make it effective, and social media is just one of them.
Okay. You know, and one of the things that I find people that do on Facebook, I'm just going to address, you know, Facebook for this question. When people are running campaigns, and maybe it's just me, but I belong to several different groups. You know, for different things, I belong to business groups, branding groups, you know, professional women in branding business. And I find that when people are running a campaign or an ad for promotion for their business, they hit, I mean, I see the feed go up and they do the same message on like 10 different groups that I'm in, and I can see it pop up the same thing over and over and over, repetitive. And that annoys me. Is there any way that you can suggest for them to maybe spread it out over an hour and not just hit every group up and you know, because a lot of the same people are in the groups and maybe not, or maybe it's just me, but
you're right on target with that, because the messaging and the audiences that you're delivering it to, right, Lisa? So what I heard you say was, you know, it's annoying when I see the same thing over and over again in the same group, because we're a lot of us are part of the same groups. And so you're not the only one that gets annoyed with that. So you really, your strategy, you already named the strategy. Take your time with it and target different parts of the day. So instead of doing it all at 9 o'clock in the morning, this also leverages your campaign and gives you greater exposure, because now you're targeting it at the times when that group might be more active. So it takes, what happens is people don't take the time to really analyze their group. So one of the methods I do is I actually analyze the group. So, for example, we're in some of the same groups, right, Lisa? So, you know, Accelerate Network, when are they busy? They're busy first thing in the morning. You might get another midday rush, and then I don't know what's up with those women, but they like to party on the weekends in that group, right? And so sometimes on the weekends you'll see messages delivered, right? And so knowing that is really key to your campaign, because then you don't become this annoying person that, oh, my gosh, here she is again with the same, and she hit 20 of, you know, all 10 of our groups that we're all a part of. And you actually, that also shows that you're paying attention and that you're really conscious about your campaign. And so I think sometimes we're just not conscious because we want to get it out there and get it done. And so one of the techniques I use is I actually go, okay, this group is really busy in the morning time. I can talk to them in the morning time. Oh, you know what? I noticed that they also get active in the afternoon, and then you can pick two different times. And so that's a good strategy. So thank you for asking that question, because it can be annoying. And even different platforms are more active at other times. And so it's all about really taking a systematic approach instead of just like, you know, kind of like throwing up on everybody, like, I'm launching a new campaign. Okay, great. But let's scale it back so that everybody hears you. And then that gives you the opportunity to reach the people that are going to be on in the afternoon, because especially with Facebook, you know, you can get lost in the feed if you only do it once in a day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, another thing that I share with people that I'd like to share, because I know a lot of people are going to be listening to this show, so I'm kind of using you, Adrienne, to get my do's and don'ts that I don't like about exposure. I always tell people too, when they join a group, that the best way to start off exposure isn't about buy from me, do this with me, but interact with the other posts that are already on there. So if somebody is posting something, to read their blog and then give feedback. And so that shows everybody else in that group that you're a nice person, that you're paying attention to other people, and you're not just there to spam your business and try to do business, but you actually are there to engage with other people, because that's how you do business. Doing business is getting to know the other person. And even though you might not be the right fit for whatever it is that their business is, you probably will know somebody that could use their service. And if they come across as a thoughtful, caring, nice person and supportive, I tell people your best way to promote yourself is to be nice to the other people in the group. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, that's part of my campaigning. I call it Be Trustworthy, because my campaign is the Busy Bee, right? And so be trustworthy, because, of, you know, all things being equal, people do business with and refer business to people that they know and like and trust. And the same thing goes across on social media. If I know you, Lisa, and I trust that you're not just after my dollar, right, that you actually are, you know, you're have a vested interest in my success as I would have in your success. And that's really important, especially, you know, women in business. Women, we tend to really want to support each other in authenticity. And so often sometimes women don't remember that. I don't know why, because we're the most authentic, loving creatures on the earth. And sometimes we just forget, hey, can I just expose my authenticity and can I scale back for a moment and just celebrate you? So it's really, really, really crucial. That's a really good point. And that I'm glad you're asking these pet peeves of yours, Lisa, because sometimes we don't talk about them enough, right? And you want to be what I call omnipresent. And so one of the ways you can be omnipresent is talk about other people, tag them, understand what their brand means, and then educate other people about their brand. So I think I've done it with you a couple of times, like Lisa Lamont is the bomb, and here's why. And then I just tell people, like, this is why she's the bomb. If you want your life changed and transformed and you want to lose some weight, you know, you need to get with her. So that's one of the things you've done for
Wonderful.
Me. But a lot of people might not know that. And so just saying that out loud, again, gives you, oh, I trust her. She's not just asking me for, in my opinion, on what she's doing. She also has an awareness of the other people in the group and wants to help and inspire them as well. So it's really critical. That actually increases your net worth, because people go, oh, I like her. The next thing you do, you see all these friend requests. You're like, oh, I'll be her friend, yes.
Yeah, you've done a fabulous job for your exposure with me and with other people that I see you do. I mean, you are so loving and giving, and you're always helping people with their brand recognition and pointing them out, and you're so patient and you're so kind, and you take, and you're busy too. Plus, so tell me about your personal life a little bit. We'll continue on with the campaigning and the exposure part, but share with the listeners a little bit about you. What would you like them to know about who you are? Where do you even live at? They don't even know where you're from.
Okay, well, I live in wonderful San Diego. I've lived in California pretty much most of my adult and young life. Traveled. But keep coming back home to San Diego. I recently came back home to help my dad. He's 81. So and can't drive anymore. And he taught me how to drive. He was a driver. He was a driver's educator. And so he taught driving. And now he can't drive anymore. So you can imagine how frustrating that is for him. And so applaud anyone that's at home taking care of an aging parent. I know it's not easy, and I think one of the things I want people to know is that I am really busy. I have three kids. I'm a single mom. And some days it does, I understand that it can get so tiring, and you want to be the shining light, and then you yourself need love and self-care. And so that's one of the reasons why lately I have been kind of quiet, a lot more quiet than normal, and it's because I realized I wasn't giving myself this care that I so much needed so that I could be supportive to the four or five other people that I'm responsible for. You know, so it's my three kids and my dad, and I'm not responsible for my mom, but I'm her support because she travels so much and she's gone a lot. So I call myself the second wife. And so it's funny because my mom will come home and me and my dad will be talking about something and she'll chime in and he's like, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to Andrea. And so we laugh and she's like, well, I said, well, mom, you haven't been here. And so we kind of got that problem solved. So it is a challenge, but I look at it as a gift and an honor because, you know, too much is given, much is required. And so every day, I think one of the things that I want to expose is that I do get tired and I do just need that, hey, how you doing? Sometimes I know Cheryl and Joey are really good at this, and you two, like, are you okay? I'm just checking in. Haven't heard from you in a while. So that might be those days that I'm having one of those, am I supposed to be doing this days? And I have those days. I think it kind of stems from my past of doing things in life that I shouldn't have probably been doing and questioning, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Because I had some really bad balls early on in life to my own accord, but realizing that I can be a successful entrepreneur is my dream. I know that I'm supposed to be doing this. I know that I am great. Inside of me is this golden jewel, and I think that's why I push so hard every day to acknowledge other people, because early in my life I wasn't really acknowledged, Lisa, just I wasn't, you know. I remember my parents, and I love them, but I remember my dad saying, children are supposed to be seen and not heard, and that stuck with me for the longest, you know. And so when I would be out in the world even, I wouldn't speak my truth, or I wouldn't open my mouth to say certain things, child in a sense. Does that make sense, Lisa? And and I think even as women, sometimes we're not as courageous in speaking up for who we are and who we know we're supposed to be, because somewhere along the line our voices got muted. And so that's why being the it girl is really important to me, not because I want to be it and I want to be a star and all. It's not that at all. So the it girl, it's not about that. Just even though you see the star is so that other women can acknowledge the star within themselves and the greatness within themselves. And that's really important to me, that I work with women and people in business that want to acknowledge someone greater than themselves and other people. That's super important to me.
Yeah. So that's me. I love that you mentioned, you know, muting our voices. You know, and I swear that this is the year of women telling our truth now. And I love that just when you said, you know, we're no longer muting our voices, that just gave me goosebumps. So I had to, yeah. I mean, I'm just like, you know, that was huge. That was huge.
Yeah, it's huge for me to speak out. I mean, I can, even in relationships, you know, we get in these relationships and I can remember thinking that, well, you know, the man, again, just the whole submissive thing and, you know, the man, they're supposed to be the superior one, and I wouldn't talk and I would have an opinion and I'd be like, and I'd get home later and they're like, well, why didn't you say that? I'm like, because, you know, normally you're just looking at me like, I wish you would say something. So I had a long time, a lot of years of not having my voice heard, and even in business with other women sometimes, I found that the alpha females, is that what they call them, Lisa? You know, the ones that just, they know what they want, they're going to do what they want, and sometimes I think they forget that there's other people in the room that need to be heard too. So it's really important for women that are listening right now I love my alpha sisters. Don't get me wrong. I love them too because we need them, right? But sometimes I think that women that don't have that within them or haven't tapped into it, we all have that ability. That's what I'm learning about myself. Like, I have this ability inside of me to make a difference, and my voice matters. And so it's really, really important that women that are listening right now, that you don't mute your voice, that if you have something to say, you don't know whose life you're going to change because you said what was on your mind and in your heart. And it's really, really critical. And I think that's why women in business, I really fight so hard for them, because sometimes they don't really know what their voice is. And so I love to collaborate with other women to help them bring that voice out. I have some wonderful business partners that are excellent at that and giving them clear and clarity, and then I come along and go, and here we're going to expose that to the world and show them how to do that and let everybody see their bright, shining light. And so that's what the stars are about on my Facebook page. It's the Hollywood star because, you know, everybody recognizes these Hollywood stars, but in the end, at the end of the day, they're all just like you and me. They're all just like me. They've had struggles, ups and downs, and they one day decided they wanted their voice and their talent to be heard, and they just got out there and kept doing it.
That's so true. That is so true. We are going to take a quick break, and we are going to be back, Adria, and we're going to ask, I'm going to go into question number 4 and have you answer, what are the best 3 steps to run a successful campaign? So we will be right back.
Did you know that you were born with a personal code that reveals your true purpose in life? Jen Duchenne translates that code into valuable information you can use right now to discover your purpose and clear the blocks that keep you from creating the success you desire. Jen Duchenne is a master of the powerful tool of astronumerology, which has the answers you seek. To learn more, visit JenDuchenne.com. That's JenDuchenne.com. And get moving on your success path to a life of meaning, money, and joy.
Ladies, opportunity is not an opportunity unless you can do something about it. Here's your opportunity to work with Lisa. For over 30 years, Lisa Lamont has been providing direction for countless others with her unique gypsy cards that were passed to her over 30 years ago. Mention Prancing Kitten and you will receive 50% off Lisa's 5-star VIP package. Go to lisalamont.com today.
And we are back with the beautiful and amazing Adria. So Adria, what are the 3 steps for the listeners to run a successful campaign?
Thank you for asking. So the 3 steps are collaboration. You cannot do this alone. You have to collaborate with other people to run a successful campaign. And that's really about reaching into, you know, we're all such great networkers, and sometimes we forget what tools we have in our arsenal at our church. So when I'm getting ready to run a campaign, I literally look at who I'm collaborating with to help me deliver the message. And sometimes they're just like, I love you, Adria, whatever you're doing, I'm a part of, and, you know, give me the information, and I'm glad to share it with my network. And so that's a major component, because sometimes, especially as you're growing your business, and this is usually for people that are growing their business, that aren't going to be spending all that money on Facebook ads. And I just personally, I don't do Facebook ads, but a lot of people do. And so if you're not going to be spending money on ads and those things, you're going to need collaborators. And the second technique is edutain and learn. And I talked about this earlier. That you want to edutain people. Don't make it boring. Make it fun and exciting. When you're talking about your campaign and what you're delivering to the world, you have to make it fun and engaging. And then you want to learn from those that are in your network, because sometimes they have something to tell you even about what you're doing that will help you excel and elevate what you're doing to another level. So edutate and learn is the second one component. And then finally, on the third one, let me go back to educate and learn so that you can kind of get a concept of what that looks like. So that might look like you hosting a Google Hangout so people can learn and you can entertain them through a video Google Hangout. That might be another tool that you use. So that's what that might look like. And then the last one is get techie. That's going to help accelerate your campaign to another level. And this is why. When you're doing a campaign and you're saying, well, I'm going to send out an email blast and I'm going to post it on Facebook, those things are great. They're components of your campaign, but sometimes you're going to need that extra boost, and it might not come from you. So you might need to research technology and tools for your business. And so one of the tools that I use on Facebook is called 22 Social. And when you go to my Facebook page, you'll see I have tabs across the top. And within those tabs, I actually have really juicy content. I have a workshop and event, and that has my latest Google Hangout, which is actually live on Facebook. So you want to give your, especially on Facebook, you don't want to lose them. You don't want them to go anywhere else. You want them to stay engaged. And so I use 22 Social as one of my tools to help engage people. And I get techie because I'm the it girl. I have to admit, I love technology. But technology in the 21st century is helping us grow our brands at an accelerated rate. It's helping us elevate, and that actually makes you a little bit more sexy and appealing when you got this new tech tool. Just think of when the iPhone came out and the smartphones came out and people had them. You wanted one because that was a sexy piece of technology. It's the same thing in your business. Technology is sexy. And so I like to say that out loud.
Technology is sexy. I love that.
It is. It's sexy, right? I mean, think about it as, okay, so why they first they came out with the iPhone, now they have the iPhone 6, and that thing is huge, but it's sexy. It's like, I want one, right? Not me personally, but people want them because technology is just that. It's sexy, it's new, it's inviting, and when you slow it down enough to help people understand how to use it and enough people start using it, you'll start using it too. Just like when email, you know, Lisa, we're old enough to remember when there was no email. And now everybody has an account, and you have it on your phone now. And that doesn't make you smarter than the other person, but it just makes you be able to actually instrument your job better and cut out some of the middle pieces that you used to have to do manually. So why I say get tech savvy is because the tech savvy tools actually make you run your business smoother and faster, and it brings you into the 21st century and makes you sexier.
You know, it's amazing of how technology just in the last year, not even, you know, we're not even going to go back 10 years, just 1 year of all the new tools and devices and stuff that are out there to use. I mean, even photo editing, you used to have these really expensive programs to do, and now they have these really simple like PicMonkey that you can just, you know, edit photos and do campaigns. It's amazing. I mean, how many more media platforms to promote yourself to, you know, and tools to use that are out there just in the last year. It's just incredible.
Oh, yeah. Canva is another one. You're right, Lisa. It's incredible. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it is. No, I wanted to ask you, you know, you were talking about Google Hangout. And so why use Facebook for Google Hangout? Explain a little bit for people who, you know, and I'm going to share with you, I'm not that comfortable with Google Hangout. I struggle with it a little bit. I have a hard time, and so to tie it with Facebook, I'm really glad just to be able to ask you that question because you know how to do it.
Yeah, it's so cool because once you know, like most average person knows how to click the link and get on the Google Hangout. So this app allows you to host that live Google Hangout right in your Facebook page. And it literally sits on your Facebook page, and it has a countdown so people know it's coming. So when I'm doing when we're doing a campaign, we can leverage your Facebook page to draw more people to your Facebook page by giving them a link that links to your Google Hangout that's directly on your Facebook page. And the reason why we use the Google Hangout, of course, is to be sexy and have this interactive experience where you're talking about your brand or you're doing your show and you're giving people, you're edutaining them on your new product offering or service through a Google Hangout. Or maybe you're doing interviews or you're hosting, like the Accelerate Network Group has a group where we talk about what we all need in our businesses as well as bringing on special guests. So that platform held in the Google Hangout gives you this extra exposure to other businesses. And what I love about doing it on the Facebook page, you can actually have ads at the bottom for other businesses. So it's like a big moving billboard, talking billboard. So it's kind of imagine you're watching TV and then there's these commercials down below that you can read while you're on this Google Hangout that's on Facebook. Pretty sexy, huh?
Very sexy, very sexy. I had no idea, you know, and I just thought that was one of the questions I want to ask you about because you're very familiar with that.
I'll be providing that PowerPoint, and there'll be a link in there so people can see. I have a sample. It actually has your picture in it, Lisa, so people can see what that would look like. It's got a countdown on it. It actually, and then after, what's so cool about it is after you do the Google Hangout, you don't have to edit anything. The content lives live right there, and so people can go and see what you did, and then if you're going to host these on a regular basis, you can just keep switching out, you know, put links to your old videos as well as the new and up-and-coming videos. So it's really, really cool because it gives you another place. You know, YouTube is effective, but not a lot of people have a lot of traffic on their YouTube pages. So what I found for my people that I work with online, most of us have these incredible Facebook pages, with, you know, several hundred, even several thousand people. And so the goal is to keep them right there, right where they're already used to living, right on Facebook.
Yeah. Okay.
That is cool. That's it. That's cool. I know you're like trying to put your. Are you trying to wrap your mind around that one, aren't you, Lisa?
I am. It's weird. You know, some of the technology of these different tools, when you try them once or twice and you struggle with them, you tend to want to not go back to them. And I have a Google account. You know, I do Google. I have Google Circles and all of that. And it's just been one of those places that I've kind of struggled with. You know, I'm admitting that, you know, people, oh yeah. And so I use other venues like Zoom. You know, I'm a big fan. I talk about that a lot, and I'm really comfortable with that platform versus Google Hangout. And so I don't know what the similarities are between the two, because I feel safe in Zoom. So I'm just sharing that with you.
Right. Well, you know, I would love if 22 Social would use Zoom, because you can't integrate Zoom into the Facebook platform yet. And it's actually something I actually emailed them, like, you should check out this other platform. And so, eventually maybe they will. But I do. So let me just give you a comparison. Zoom is really great for being able to do the same thing you do in the Google Hangout, but you can actually get more people on visually than you can on a Google Hangout. And they actually have Google Hangout has a free platform to it. But also at the end of it sends you the audio and the video, right? So you have that for your database. And so really just deciding which platform to use is really deciding what you want to use it for. So why I like Google Hangout. Go ahead.
Well, and you said that Google Hangout is tied to Facebook, and that makes a huge difference. I didn't know that. I learned that today. So that's really good to know, because Zoom isn't tied to Facebook. I know that. So, and I didn't know that Google Hangout was. So that's going to have me, this old dog, going to learn new tricks. And I'm going to go back and check it out again. And I'm going to try that. I just thank you so much for calling in today and just sharing all your valuable information on exposure. How can the listeners find you and learn more about what it is that you do? Because anybody that's listening, and if you have your own business, a lot of people listening, you are entrepreneurs, and you will want to. Adria is she's such a fun person anyway, but she has so much information that you can learn about her. And so she's going to share with you how you can find her.
Yes, and you can find me on Facebook, because that's where I hang out. And it's the OMG Network by the It Girl is my Facebook handle. And that's the best place to find me. I'm very responsive, and all my content and information is housed on Facebook, because I want to meet people where they're at. And that's the biggest platform to reach the masses that I have found is effective for me. And that's where you can find me, on Facebook.
I love it. Well, I appreciate your coming on today, and I would love to have you back again down the road, because we only tapped into a little bit of what it is that you do. And I can't thank you enough, Adria. I'm so happy. I've learned, and I've taken a lot of notes. You know, I love having guests like you on my show, because then I get asked the questions that I want to know about that are related to business. And so you're so generous to share that information. And I've taken a lot of notes today, and I will add your contact information to this link too, for people that listen to this in archives. So thank you, Adria, for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Lisa. You have a wonderful day. Bye, bye, everybody. Bye, all you prancing kittens. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you so much.
Is your happiness stranded somewhere on an island in the far Pacific? You have no idea what direction you should go to get unstuck. If you have a phone, you can call Lisa for a no-pressure free consultation today. No matter where you live, you have one-on-one access to Lisa, who will guide you to move forward in a positive direction. Lisa Lamont is a certified hypnotherapist and life coach who gets immediate results for hundreds of people around the world. You deserve to be happy today. Call 206-834-LISA or go to www.lisalamont.com. This is your time to awaken your true purpose in life and be happy.